We're discussing sickle cell disease in a new UW clinic focused on improving long-term quality of life for patients. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the U.S., about 100,000 people battle intense pain and life-threatening complications like strokes from this inherited blood disorder, where cells turn into the shape of a sickle and get trapped in blood vessels. Do you have sickle cell disease? How do you treat and manage it? How has it affected your life? What questions do you have about the disease? It's 800-642-1234. Dr. Muniba Nazif is a hematologist at UW Health and head of this new sickle cell disease clinic. Dr. Nazif, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me over.
Good morning. Start by giving us a better understanding of what is sickle cell disease.
Yes. So as you very rightly said, sickle cell disease is an inherited blood disorder, which results in an abnormality in the red cells, which are our primary oxygen carriers in the blood. And this abnormality results in the red cells becoming misshapen, like crescents or sickle, and that results in blockages of the blood vessels, leading to intense pain and multiple organ complications. And it's a complex and chronic medical condition, which affects a patient's life, from birth almost to the end of their life, and is characterized by pain and, multiple complications, hospitalizations. So it's a big, medical, problem, and it impacts people of various ethnicities, but mainly people of African origin, African American or African origin, and some Hispanic ethnicities as well.
And we're going to talk about ethnicity in a moment, but what does it do to the internal organs?
So as you can imagine, we need oxygen in every tissue for it to function properly. So with sickling, when the blood cells become misshapen, they're not able to carry oxygen efficiently to the tissue. So a lot of organs get impacted by it, as every organ is dependent on that. So some of the kind of key examples are people can get strokes related to this disease because of interruption of blood supply. The sickling can lead to congestion in the blood vessels in the lungs, leading to serious complications with breathing. The bones can get affected and resulting in death of the bone tissue, and joints getting damaged, damage to the kidneys, liver. It can impact and damage the spleen, which helps to protect you from infection. So people are more predisposed to infections.
It really wreaks havoc on the body. Yeah. Is there a screening at birth, or how is it diagnosed?
Yes. So in the United States, a screening is done at birth, which will then identify these individuals. So that's how we know here, but there is in the rest of the world, it's not that screening program is not everywhere. So there is a test that they can be done, and sometimes the children are diagnosed around 6 months of age when they come in with painful, swollen joints and jaundice and a lot of sort of complications related to that.
We're talking with Dr. Muniba Nazif, who is a hematologist at UW Health, head of a new sickle cell disease clinic. What questions do you have about this chronic disease? Do you have sickle cell disease? How do you treat and manage it? Join in 800-642-1234. A bit of the genetics here, Dr. Nazif. How is it inherited?
So sickle cell disease is what we call an autosomal recessive disease, which means that, you know, every individual carries two genes for the normal globin, which is the gene that is impacted. And so if you inherit two abnormal genes, one from each parent, that's when you get sickle cell disease. If you inherit just one abnormal gene and you have a normal gene from the other parent, then you have what we call a sickle trait, which is an asymptomatic condition. So that does not cause disease, but they are able to transmit that to their offsprings in that manner. So you have to have two abnormal genes to inherit the disease.
Mm-hmm. Why does this really painful chronic disease disproportionately affect people of African ancestry or people who identify as Black?
Yes. So that has to do something with, sort of like the evolution of disease. Originally, this was sort of like it started and it was kind of like seen, if you go back into history, where predominantly in areas which in Africa and some parts of Middle East and even India. But the reason why the gene is being selected is because of the fact that people who do carry one abnormal gene or sickle trait, they are relatively protected from malaria. Mm-hmm. So over time, this gene was selected because these people were able to survive that, and the gene got concentrated. And as you know, because these are the regions in the world where the malaria is endemic, so mm-hmm. so that's sort of like kind of how the gene has been selected for, and now it's sort of mainly is found in that. But like I said, it's a global problem, so it's not just Africans, but also people from Hispanic ancestry, also some Middle Eastern and as well as Indian origin folks as well can have that.
Well, let's bring in a call. Bill is joining us from Milwaukee with a question. Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Good morning, ladies. Long ago, my blood was analyzed. I don't know what it was for, but this lady told me I had a recessive sickle cell gene, that if I had had children, which I did not, that they would have had the disease. My father said it's outrageous, but I wonder if that's possible, because no one in my family has ever had it, to my knowledge.
Dr. Nazif?
Yes, thank you for that question, Bill. So as I mentioned, there are 1 in 12 African Americans carry the sickle cell gene, so which means that people can have or are have sickle cell trait. So that means that you can have one abnormal gene, but if your other gene is normal, then you will not have the disease. But if you had children with someone who also carried the gene, then there's a possibility, about 1 in 4 possibility, that the child could end up with an abnormal gene from both parents, which will then can result. So not 100%, but there's a possibility that the child can have sickle cell disease.
We're talking with oncology and hematology specialist Dr. Muniba Nazif, who leads a new sickle cell clinic at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Does a loved one have sickle cell disease? How hard has it been for them to get treatment and care? If you have the disease, what has the quality of care you received been like? Have you explored gene therapy or had a bone marrow transplant? We'll be talking about that next. Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the future of sickle cell disease as a new clinic is focused on it at the UW. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Ken. Thanks for being here. An estimated 100,000 people in our country have the disease, and sickle cell disease patients have confronted systemic racism in medicine. A pair of physicians writing in the New England Journal of Medicine said sickle cell disease was first described more than a century ago, but the development of disease-modifying therapies has stagnated. What questions do you have about the inherited blood disorder? Do you find barriers to treatment? Join in 800-642-1234. Dr. Muniba Nazif is a hematologist at UW Health and leads the new clinic. Dr. Nazif, can you explain some of the treatment protocols? What might current treatment look like?
Yes, so there are several aspects of treatment of sickle cell disease. Obviously, one of the main things is to control the pain and manage the complications related to pain. But then the other main aspect is to manage the actual disease itself to reduce the complications of the disease and to improve the patient's quality of life. So there are medical treatments, so that includes medications. We have four new approved medications. I would say three new approved medications and one older medication that we use. There are blood transfusions, and then there are curative treatments such as bone marrow transplants and some an ongoing research in other curative treatments. So it involves all of those things in order to provide comprehensive care.
With these curative treatments on the horizon, first with, you know, blood marrow transplants, how well have they worked?
So bone marrow transplant is the only approved curative treatment for sickle cell disease, which essentially involves removing the patient's own immune system and then putting in a new immune system and a new sort of like blood cell system that will, from a donor, to then produce normal blood cells. So it's a treatment that works, but the currently the best available evidence is in patients who are younger, usually younger than 16 years of age, and they have a matched sibling. So they have to have a sibling who is a full match to the patient to be able for this treatment to be able to be successful. And so because of that, that has led to, you know, so it's not available to every patient, and only about 20% or less patients actually end up getting a bone marrow transplant in the United States.
What are you seeing out of gene therapies that are on the horizon?
It's a very promising area in sickle cell disease. We're very excited to see that happening. Gene therapy essentially is a technology that utilizes different kind of techniques to change the behavior of the gene in order to produce normal red cells. And it does not require a donor to give their stem cells, which makes it very attractive. It's in early phases of research currently, but the small amount of studies that we have seen are very promising. And I think that that's something that we are looking at expectantly. And we're hoping that more trials can be opened and more patients can enroll. And so we can get robust data and we can then work on seeing if we can, you know, if this would be applicable and we can provide this this treatment to patients.
Speaking of clinical trials, what trials might your clinic focus on?
We want to bring various clinical trials to our patients, ranging from new medications, which can have still, and I think will still have a role in management of sickle cell disease and its various complications. But we also hope for bringing some of these groundbreaking treatments like gene therapy trials to UW as well. There are a lot of kind of like initiatives that we are currently in the process of to be able to focus on in terms of sickle cell, and also a lot of quality-based interventions to improve patients' experiences.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Dr. Moniba Nazif, who's a hematologist at UW Health, head of a new sickle cell disease clinic. Taking your questions about the disease, does a loved one have sickle cell disease? How difficult has it been for them to get treatment and care? What is quality of life like? Join in at 800-642-1234. Dr. Nazif, going back to the emerging gene therapy treatments, the cost of these treatments are extraordinarily high, in the millions of dollars. What is being done about, you know, barriers to access in gene therapy?
That's a great question. I think gene therapy is currently, it's not in, I have to clarify that it's not an approved treatment yet. Mm-hmm. So we are not using it sort of in a general manner for patients. It's currently only being done in the context of clinical trials. But just taking clue from other gene therapy treatments that are approved, we do understand that, yes, they are very expensive. And so there is a lot of work that is, and a lot of discussions that are currently ongoing at various levels for advocating for our patients and in discussions to sort of like address that while we are getting all this great data and going through these clinical trials. At the government level, I think there is advocacy. American Society of Hematology is championing a lot of these discussions. And so to bridge that gap and say that, you know, hey, we have this great treatment that we can cure this disease potentially, and it's, you know, it can have life-changing implications, but then we also want to be able to make it available to our patients. So there's a lot of work going on there. I think, like I said, that is something that needs to be addressed, and I think we all need to be talking about that. And these discussions are great, where, you know, people are mindful of that, because it's a disease that, as you mentioned, disproportionately affects a patient population that is already economically and socially at a disadvantage. So that's something that we all are looking at.
And when you talk there about advocating for patients, you know, medicine is not immune from racial injustice and disparities and everything from where research dollars go to patient care and life expectancy. And patients with sickle cell disease, they have been marginalized or not believed when seeking medical care when their bodies hurt. How will your clinic work in light of these historical injustices?
Thank you very much for that great question. I think that's a core principle of sort of like this clinic that we have started, and it's just sort of like brings all of those things together for us. And this is the reason why we did this is, when we provide care, our clinic is sort of like the first step in our bigger goal to build a comprehensive sickle cell program. And we not only provide medical care, but we serve as champions for our patients to collaborate with other hospital specialties and departments to address disease complication, but also improve patient experiences in the clinic, in the emergency department, and during admissions to the hospital. We have a lot of educational initiatives to better address the knowledge gaps, as well as the biases, which can sometimes be conscious or unconscious ones, so that you know, we can better enlighten people about that. So a lot of those initiatives are currently ongoing, and we have seen such great feedback and some response from the other providers when we have engaged with them. So I think collaboration, engagement, patient opinions and voices, they all need to be incorporated into that. And we're seeing something wonderful happening through that. So I'm very hopeful that we can take that forward and our clinic will serve as that cornerstone for to be our patient champions.
Dr. Nazif, thank you for joining us.
Yes, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Moniba Nazif, hematologist at UW Health, head of a new sickle cell disease clinic. Coming up, we learn about a nonprofit that helps Latinos with developmental disabilities navigating healthcare and education. Do you have a family member who was diagnosed with autism? Have you found support networks and resources? 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.